I am not a musician, but I love music. Music can teach us much. Music can be a great blessing. And that song truly is a blessing. If you really listened to the words as he sang them, but just to think, overshadowed by his mighty love, eternal, unchanging, and pure. There is no love that can bypass that. I invite you to take your Bibles tonight, please. Turn to the book of Colossians. It is now 5:29. We've had a baptism. We've sung several songs. We've had an offertory. We've had a special. But we have not prayed. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, how truly thankful we are tonight for your mighty love. The love that caused you to leave the glories of heaven, to come down to a sin-sick world, to die on a cross, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Lord, thank you for the word of God. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Lord, as we are here this evening, we stand at the end of an old year. We are at the beginning of a new year. As we think back of what the old year held, we look forward to what you might have for the coming year. I pray, God, that you would guide us and direct us. And I pray, dear Father, for anyone who might possibly be in this service tonight who have not personally experienced the love of God and have accepted that love gift of salvation, that they would do so tonight. Guide us and direct us as we look into your word, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Colossians in chapter 4, I'm going to read the first 6 verses of this chapter. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make manifest as I ought to speak. Verses 5 and 6 are the two verses I want us to look at this evening. Paul, of course, has wanted them to pray for him, and we all need prayer. But then he gives us a challenge in verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And as I mentioned, we here this evening are into a new year by a week and a couple of days. And when you come to a new year, we often look back at the old year. What was the old year like? It's been an interesting year. In many ways, it's been a discouraging year. But as we look back over that year, we find that there are many blessings. At least I experienced many blessings in my life. We found that there were some disappointments. We stand here and we remember the good. We try to forget the bad. And we go along with the routine. But now we come to a new year, To their great dismay, the young people are back at school again. College students in about a week will be returning to college and sit under the wise instruction of men like Dr. Potter and dread the tests that he will give. It's a part of the new year. It's a part of life. We who are a little bit older, out of school now, we're going to still be being taught. We're going to face some tests, tests that we don't like. But at the beginning of this year, we often make resolutions. I'm not going to ask you how many made a resolution. If I did that, I'd have to follow up with the question, how many have broken that resolution already? But I don't think of them as a resolution, but I think we ought to set some goals for ourselves as we look forward to a new year. But setting goals, making resolutions can be good in the sense that they do set some paths for us, some things to look forward to as we face the new year, wanting to accomplish certain things during the coming year. Or they might be goals or resolutions to overcome a troubled spot in my life as a Christian. All these are good. They're profitable. It can help us even being used in a greater way for the Lord. But it ought to be the overall goal of our life, as Paul challenges us in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, verse 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That this year would be in our lives a life that is glorifying the Lord. But in order to do that, it takes wisdom. Among other things, if we're going to have a better year, a more profitable year, it's going to take wisdom. Solomon said, wisdom is the principal thing. He said it is the chief thing. It's the choice part of our life. He follows that truth with a challenge. He says, therefore, get wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. To have wisdom. Yes, we can look to others, and we ought to. I'm thankful for individuals that I can go to and to seek wisdom from them, seek counsel from them, to help. There was a pastor up in Wisconsin when I first entered into the pastorate, and I always looked up to him. I went to him several times and just sat down and said, would you give me some guidance here? And I'm thankful for the wisdom that he had that he could share with me. But wisdom, Solomon says, is the choice thing. To have wisdom, we can look to others. In fact, again, Solomon in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14, he says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Again, in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 6, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. We can look to the Lord for that wisdom. In James chapter 1 and verse 5, wisdom, if we need it, we can seek it from the Lord. If any man lack wisdom, let me ask you a stupid question. Anybody here that doesn't lack wisdom? I didn't see hands go up. We all lack wisdom. And of course, that particular verse is in the context of facing trials in our life, knowing how to handle them, what to do in the midst of them. He says, if we lack wisdom, ask the Lord, and he'll give us that wisdom. But in these two verses tonight, verses 5 and 6 of Colossians chapter 4, I want us to look at some areas where wisdom can make a difference in the year that lies ahead of us. Make a difference in our desire to share the gospel, to make the gospel known in our communities. First of all, we need wisdom in our walk. I had the distinct privilege this morning teaching the teenagers. We combined the college and career and the teenage class together, and I told them that I was kind of putting their class this morning, and the message tonight kind of coordinate the two of them. And to help the teens understand what I was talking about, I had two volunteers. And at the end of the class, I had one of the individuals that was in that class ask if I was going to do that again tonight. No, I won't do it. All right. But wisdom in our walk, in our conduct. Walk, of course, is speaking here of one's conduct, how one carries on their daily responsibilities, whether that is in the area of recreation, whether it's in the area of our friendship, ones that we associate with, at our job, in our school, wherever it might be. It is speaking of both of one's private conduct as well as his public conduct. How do we conduct ourselves? You know, how do you conduct yourself when you don't believe anybody else can hear or see what you are doing? That's who you are. That's your relationship with the Lord. We can put on a pretty good face. But when we're all alone, we don't think anybody sees us. Anybody can hear what we're saying. What's our conduct like? How we conduct ourselves in public is how others observe us. Paul here is primarily speaking of our walk before those outside of the family of faith. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 1, furthermore, when then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that we, as we have received of us, how you ought to walk, and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. In our Sunday school class this morning, we were looking at ways we ought to walk. First of all, we are to walk worthy of our vocation. We ought to walk worthy, or walk pleasing unto the Lord. And we ought to walk according to the direction of the Word of God. Our conduct ought to be controlled by those things. You know, the unsaved, the people that are outside of Christ, place a higher standard on our lives as Christians than they place upon themselves. And it ought to be that way. Our standard of morality, our standard of conduct ought to be higher than those outside of Christ. Walk, as it's used in this particular verse, as Paul says here, walk in wisdom. It's in the present, imperative, active, pointing out that it is a consistent walk. It ought to be consistent. It ought to be consistent with that which we profess. What we do and what we say ought to go together. As it is often stated, we are judged more on what we do than what we say. And I believe that's true. It's a challenge to have what we do be consistent with what we say, what we profess. A reason for the admonition is we are not to become a stumbling block to others. To walk in such a way that we would not cause another to fall, to stumble, to be distracted, becoming a distraction to the gospel in the life of another, keeping them from actually being saved. In Colossians in chapter 1, it says, as we mentioned this morning, walk worthy of the Lord. And in our life as a Christian, in our conduct as a Christian, as our walk as a Christian, we need wisdom. Secondly, wisdom in the use of our time. Notice again what he says here in verse number 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. buying up the opportunities that are given to us, to make wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good, so that the zeal and well-doing are, as it were, the purchase money by which we make time our own. The Lord, in his graciousness, has given us another year. At least, he's given us the beginning of another year. Whether it will be a full year for each of us, only the Lord knows that. It might not be a full year for any of us. Hey, the Lord might come. And that's fine. I don't need a full year if he's going to come. But we have potentially before us another full year. Another year of opportunity. Another year to be used of the Lord. You know, there is a promotion that I've heard on a regular basis. It usually comes on around noon on the radio. It's a promotion of getting involved, of becoming a volunteer. And this one gentleman, and he comes on and he says, you know, I don't have much that I can give. But he says, there's one thing that I do have that I can give, and that's time. You know, all of us have time. All of us have 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. If you want to multiply it on down to minutes and seconds, I'll leave that up to you. But we have time. And redeeming the time takes wisdom. Let the Lord open the doors of opportunity, and when he does, just follow him through that door. Pray that as he leads us, that we will go through the door, that we'll take advantage of the opportunities that are set out before us. Opportunities, to use them wisely for the Lord. As Paul challenged Timothy, but as he challenged Timothy, he's challenging you and I as well. In 2 Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. But what I want us to see in that verse is just two words. Be instant. Be using the time that God has used. Be instant in season and out of season. Be instant when it is convenient and when it is not. You know, being a Christian, serving the Lord, being a witness for the Lord is not always convenient. At times it is very inconvenient. But the challenge is that we still ought to take that opportunity that the Lord gives us to serve the Lord. Peter gives a like challenge in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness. That word meekness, there is opposite of harshness. We'll get into that in a little bit later. Paul, in giving the same charge to the church at Ephesus, added a reason why we need to be buying up the time, taking advantage of the opportunities that are given to us in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Anybody disagree with that? The days are evil. It was interesting, we had our senior saints breakfast Thursday morning, and I read a poem it was a part of a Christmas letter that my wife and I. It's a poem that was written by Mrs. Gray's brother, Dr. John Getch. And I read that letter, and in the first half of that letter, he was given a commentary of our nation and how our nation has turned its back upon God and how our nation is going its own way and so forth. And then the second half of the poem, he's speaking about what we ought to do, and he took it from 2 Timothy. He says, first of all, pray, and we need to pray. But after I got done reading it, I made some comments, and then I told him that letter was written in 1993. Things are no better. In fact, the Bible says things are going to get worse and worse than they are. But yet, we are challenged to take advantage of the time, the opportunities that we have. I don't know what this year holds. I don't know if I'm going to be here in 2023, but I have today. And I need to take advantage of the day that I have right now. Someone has made the statement, in fact, it was Dr. Wiersbe that made the statement, and I did write it down. It is easy to make excuses when we ought to be making opportunities. It is easy to make excuses when we ought to be making opportunities. Someone has written a little reading entitled New Time. Time is a treasure. How shall we use it? We can make useful or we can abuse it. Only the giver can make our hearts wise, teaching us daily the new time to prize. Time is a treasure, so view it, my soul. Keep all its spending neath watchful control. Employ each moment in God's holy fear, and he will ensure thee a happy new year. Wisdom. As we face 2022, as we enter into this year, we need wisdom. We need wisdom from God. Wisdom in our walk. Wisdom in the use of our time. And then thirdly, as we drop down to verse number 6, wisdom in our speech. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know what ye ought to answer every man. Many times it is not what one says, but how he says it that makes a big difference. It is the heart of man that is the source of what and how we speak. In Matthew chapter 12, in verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Notice there, Jesus describes those that he was speaking to as being evil. Therefore, he says, you cannot speak that which is good, for it is out of the heart. But if our heart is right with God, then our speech will be more pleasant. The opposite is true. If we are walking and to speak in grace, it is because the grace is in our hearts. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart. But he says here, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And now notice the next couple of verses, a couple of words, teaching and admonishing one another. He says in psalms and hymns and so forth. But you know, our speech ought to be that which is admonishing, it is teaching, it is helping, it is encouraging one another. Guard your speech that it will minister grace. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, let no corruption, no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, that it may edify, build up, strengthen. It is the Lord's desire that we speak the truth plainly, that we speak the truth sometimes even forcibly, but doing so in love. As Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. It's that which Christ, the speech that he used while he was here on the face of the earth, even in the face of rebuking sin. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 22, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Since he is a God of all grace, he gives us grace. But Paul also says here, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. So when you're getting ready to speak to somebody, get the salt shaker out and sprinkle it on your tongue. No, that isn't what he's talking about at all. Seasoned with salt. That's interesting. You know, salt is an interesting thing, really. But you think of the qualities of salt. Let me ask you another dumb question. I'm good at dumb questions. How many of you ever put salt on your food? Well, there's a few here that don't. That's good. How many of you put too much salt on your food? Several hands come up there. Yeah, you know, salt adds flavor. I can't get it out. But salt adds flavor to your food. It enhances the flavor. But the opposite is true. You put too much salt on, and it's not good. In our speech, in our witness, pray that we can, on one hand, show sin to be displeasing, but at the same time, flavor it that they can see the gospel is inviting. It's needed. It's helpful. It's a balance of hating sin, but at the same time, have a burden for the sinner. Having your walk and your talk in harmony. So we need wisdom as we face this new year. Wisdom in our walk, wisdom in our speech. And then also in verse 6, wisdom in our response. Notice what he says again in the 6th verse. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. It is that sensitivity, that awareness to the best of our ability, seeing the need of each individual. Though all unbelievers are equally lost, each have their own particular situations, their own particular hang-ups. I remember a situation, it's been a few years ago when we were still pastoring up in Fort Atkinson. I would try to go out 3 days a week in the afternoons and do some calling. And we would get what we called the newcomers list. It was a list of individuals that had moved into Fort Atkinson, and I would send a letter to them and a letter of invitation and tell them about our church. We had a brochure of the church we'd include in that. And then about 2 or 3 weeks later, I would try to follow up with a personal visit. And I was out on one of those visits, and a gentleman came to the door, and we entered into a conversation, and he was quite open, and we conversed for a while, and then he asked me a very direct question. And I answered that question, and the answer I gave him was true to the Word of God. But when I answered him, he turned around and went in his house. And as I drove back to the church, I thought, you know, I could have answered him differently. Yes, I told him the truth, but my answer wasn't seasoned with salt. Again, often it's not what we say, but how we say it. We can say the truth, and we can give the truth, but if we do it in the wrong way, it's going to turn people off. And I regret that I turned that man off. I could have answered him with more wisdom. Yes, we're at the beginning of a new year. We're at the beginning of new opportunities. There are going to be opportunities given us this year. I have no doubt about that. The Lord always gives us opportunities. I trust we will be wise and ready to use each opportunity to the praise and glory of the Lord, that He in turn can give us fruit for our labors, that we might be able to come to the end of 2022 rejoicing in what the Lord has done, how the Lord has used us in this year. We just need to pray, Lord, give us wisdom. Give us wisdom in our conduct. Give us wisdom in our use of time. Give us wisdom in our speaking. Give us wisdom in responding to others. Let's pray. Our most gracious God and Heavenly Father, how truly thankful we are tonight for the opportunity that is ours. We stand here at the beginning of a new year. Lord, only you know what the year holds for each one of us. But there's absolutely no doubt in my mind tonight that you're going to give us opportunities. And I pray tonight for myself, first of all. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom in my conduct. That what I say I believe will be shown in how I live. Give me wisdom in the use of my time, of taking advantage of those opportunities. Lord, give me wisdom to have speech that is seasoned with salt. That I would know how to answer every man who questions anything concerning you and your word. Thank you for these dear people. Bless in their lives this coming year. Lord, as we each have our own opportunities, give us wisdom. Use us to the praise of your glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.